Andrew Twiggy Forrest about to join us on the line as we continue this major debate about energy. And there's a big conference about to happen. Twiggy Forrest is going to it. Scott Morrison's not so sure, because we've got our allies who are on our back at the moment. They want us in Australia to transform the way we get our power. They want net zero emissions by 2050. What does that mean? Well, it's the greenhouse gases you produce offset by the greenhouse gases you take out of the atmosphere. So think of a set of scales that balances perfectly at zero. Easier said than done, right? And by 2050, we are being pressured to achieve that result. This is at the same time that the biggest polluter on the planet drags its heels. China accounts for almost 30% of the world's emissions compared to our 1%. The Chinese government won't commit to net zero until 2060, 10 years later. Back in Australia, you got farmers and industry and households worried about the impact that net zero will have on jobs and about reliable, affordable power. Because wind and solar and hydrogen, yes, they've got a role to play, but right now, 55% of Australia is powered by coal. 55%. Gas, 27%. Our exports of coal and gas are worth more than $100 billion a year. So how do we sign up to the world's plan while also staying in business and keeping the lights on at an affordable price? Well, this is going to be discussed at a major UN climate conference in Glasgow. Prime Minister Scott Morrison is unsure at this stage whether he's going to be there, but Andrew Twiggy Forrest will be there. He is our second richest Aussie, the chairman of Fortescue Metals, and he's on the line on 2GB Breakfast. Andrew Twiggy Forrest, good morning to you.
Good morning, Ben.
So you're going to Glasgow, the PM's not so sure.
Look, I will be there, Ben. I just think it represents a magnificent opportunity for Australia. I've heard the numbers you quoted. I have to say that coal and oil and gas is big news in the 80s, 90s and the 2000s. But as we move into the new era of totally clean energy, use as much energy as you possibly want, but don't feel bad about it, that will be green hydrogen produced from renewable electricity. Nowhere better in the world than Australia to produce that green hydrogen. So I think, you know, you could look at it negative, but you could look at it positive and say, actually, we're in a fantastic position as a country.
So what happens to our export market? Because we export up to $50 billion worth of coal every year. It's our second biggest export. What happens? And keep in mind, other countries want what we've got.
Yeah, so Ben, I think other countries are all transitioning away from coal, oil and gas, and you can see that everywhere. Everyone is moving. Australia must move too. If we just hang out with these numbers saying they're going to go on forever, we'll be left like a shag on a rock. But if we move to green hydrogen, that will be an industry which will dwarf the size of Australia's oil, gas and coal exports if we play it right. And Ben, we've got this opportunity. We should start taking it now.
Okay, but what about the shock that comes with that transition when you consider that renewables can't really handle the load that is produced by coal? Right now, New South Wales is powered 70% by coal. Nationally, 55%. Wind, solar, hydro, they're not capable of replacing the work that coal does at the moment.
No, look, it absolutely is. There's enough renewable electricity in Australia, let alone around the world, to power the world forever. We just don't capture it, Ben. And we don't capture it because there's a real pushback in the sunk capital of oil and gas companies. They are pushing really terribly hard to spruik the fact that there's Armageddon against us if we do transition to green energy. But we have to transition to green energy. There's no yes, buts or maybes. Clinging to a dying industry will do no one in New South Wales or in Australia any good at all.
All right, when you say it's a dying industry, $50 billion worth of coal every single year exported, our second biggest, is it really dying, Twiggy? Is this a case of getting ahead of the curve? Because at the moment it feels like, you know, there are people out there who want to buy our product, and the people who've got the product to sell are being told, oh no, you know, the rest of the world doesn't want you to sell this thing, so you've got to give it up.
Well, look, you know, there was massive issues from the turn of the last century around the huge amounts of horse manure blocking up all the roads of London. Everyone was saying that, you know, there's going to be a real problem. What happened is that the internal combustion engine came along. And now the streets of London don't have any horse manure in it. Yet we're not going to move away from the Stone Age because we ran out of stones. We're not going to move away from oil and gas because we ran out of oil and gas. The world wants clean, green energy, and it wants it as soon as possible. It needs to be economic. It needs to look after the people who already struggle with their power bills and push those power bills down, but they've got to know when they switch on the stove or run the car that it's not hurting their planet, it's not doing anything to their children's future, it's helping them.
All right, let me transition this conversation from horse manure that you've just mentioned to cattle interests. And you've got cattle interests in WA. What happens to the farmers under the plan? Because 13% of our emissions are from agriculture. That's essentially animals breaking wind. So how do you stop that from happening?
It's not actually breaking wind, Ben. It's burping of all things. So methane, which is a product of liquid natural gas, is probably our worst element. How farmers, I think, will handle is when they go into a feedlot environment where that they come off natural pastures, which actually don't cause methane, and come into very rich feed environments like grains, which do cause methane, then there's a product which has been established by the CSIRO, which is a bulk product. It can be produced massively. Why? Because it can be produced in the ocean. It's a seaweed. It's high protein. It grows out cattle, but it as good as eliminates the methane from burping cattle because it is a completely different digestive system, and it suits the cattle.
We are talking to Andrew Twiggy Forrest, who's going to be heading off to this United Nations climate conference in Glasgow. Now, what about gas? Gas seems to be the middle ground here, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, you know more about this than I do, but the federal government is committing to a $30 million gas plant that you want to create at Port Kembla. How does that fit in with net zero? Because the international lobby groups are saying that we shouldn't be building new gas plants either.
We won't get a sufficient green hydrogen in to power a brand new power station, which Sydney really needs to have to put downward pressure on those electricity prices. We can't get that green hydrogen in quickly enough to not have Sydney go black. So that's not an alternative. But if we start with 50% gas and 50% green hydrogen, 24, 25, then I reckon we can do that. And by 2030, we'll be 100% green hydrogen. And the people of Sydney, people in New South Wales will know they can switch on their lights and know there's absolutely zero carbon coming out of their homes, their cars, their stoves.
All right, what about the price of switching on that power? Because that's the big concern, power bills, as we move towards net zero by 2050. How do we know that we're not going to be paying more?
It's transition, Ben. And it's supply and demand. If you get sufficient supply, you can push down the price because it overwhelms demand. You know, there's so many sources of massive green energy, and that can bring down the price, Ben. And in any event, we have to, because we need to be passing on a world which is kinder, not much more aggressive and nastier.
Okay, you bring us to the elephant in the room when you talk about countries and individuals doing their bit. You've got business interests in China. The biggest polluter in the world isn't working as hard as everyone else to cut emissions. So how can you use your considerable influence, Andrew Twiggy Forrest, in China to get China to do something about it?
So, Ben, China's pretty good at not playing all their cards out in public. You know, they don't jump up and down. The Chinese are saying to us, we want to be buying iron ore that is not full of carbon. We need to be buying iron ore that's been produced from electricity, which is sunlight, wind, etc. So they're demanding that of us. I'm also seeing them spending capital, which would make your eyes water, Ben, on wind farms stretching across from Mongolia deep into China. They're already the lowest cost producer of solar panels in the world. I'm not saying that we can't all do more, but I'm saying China is the sleeping giant of renewable energy. They put out 2060 because that was the best they had at the time. I wouldn't be surprised if they are the country who starts dragging in that going carbon-free date.
There's a real challenge here for our political leaders to communicate a message to all of us that we're going to be okay under this plan. And Scott Morrison is weighing up whether he's going to go to this conference in Glasgow. You'll be there. Are you hoping the Prime Minister will come along as well?
Look, it would be tricky for any Prime Minister who's not prepared to lead his country to attend COP26 with a carbon neutral date of 2050, which is really kind of that shut off time where global warming can get out of control and nothing mankind can do after that can stop it, or we can actually slow it down to a point where it no longer becomes a threat. And it's that global warming getting out of control point, which as a scientist, I really worry about. That really deeply concerns me. But if I was ScoMo, I'd go there and I'd say, this is what Australia's doing. Fortescue Future Industries, Twiggy, the biggest investor in green energy probably in the world now. He's Australian. Look what we're doing and be proud of our country.
Well, we appreciate you jumping on the line now. You're heading towards Glasgow. Are you going to be doing a Greta Thunberg? Are you worried about your carbon footprint getting there? Are you going to sail the whole way there?
Yeah, no, mate, listen, I'm just a practical activist, mate. I need to get there as quickly as I possibly can and efficiently, because I've got half the bloody world to persuade that Australia is a fantastic solution and they should be going hard at buying their green hydrogen from us and creating all the hundreds of thousands of jobs which are capable of being created in Australia right here at home.
All right, we'll see whether Scott Morrison joins you. Thank you so much for jumping on the line. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Ben. All the best.
The Cheers. Chairman of Fortescue Metals, Andrew Twiggy Forrest. You're listening to Ben Fordham on 2GB.